Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Paris, I'm not even going to say good morning. My question to you is how? How they managed to do this? How?
Talking about The Witcher 3.
Yes. I've been playing now for a couple hours and my mind is blown away. Like it's.
I told you this yesterday. I told you, man. It's like once you get your hands on it, it's amazing how on the Switch screen, because I put it in TV mode as well to compare, but
yeah,
when you're playing it on the smaller screen on the Switch, yo, it's the game that I've been playing on PC. Yeah, maybe there's a little tiny thing here there that's not enhanced ultra settings like it would be on PC, but dude, you got the full Witcher 3 in your hands. Play whatever you want. It's amazing. Yeah. It's a technical marvel what CD Projekt Red and I forget the team that optimized it, the company.
Oh, Saber Interactive.
Yeah, there you go, Saber. Yeah. They were able to do to get that working on the Switch. And, yo, it's locked at 30 frames. It's solid.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen a frame drop yet. So, yeah, it's fantastic. If you've never played The Witcher 3 at this point, dude, just get it on the Switch. I mean...
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of people that are like asking me, okay, how close is it PlayStation 4 and Xbox One? And yeah, people will mention it's not 1080p or 4K. Like, honestly, I'm not even thinking about that. I'm playing the game because I'm enjoying the story, the combat, the gameplay, just everything overall, voice acting, even the voice, like the voices, audio, music, it sounds great. It sounds great. I don't know, man. Like now there's no excuse for a gaming company to say, oh no, the Switch is less powerful. We can't create games like that. I'm telling you, man, if I already played Doom, I played Wolfenstein, I played a couple games that was available on Xbox One and PlayStation 4, and it was ported for the Switch, dude. Amazing. Even Overwatch, Paris, I've been playing that a lot, which also just came out too. Like, this is a great time if you are a Nintendo Switch owner. So many great games, man. So many great games.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, I've said it many times before. I'm so glad I was wrong about the Switch. I mean, it's a fantastic piece of tech, hardware. Like I said, the games that Nintendo is able to get on there, the third-party companies have been able to port stuff over there, mm-hmm. and just the way it's been working, like we're saying here, The Witcher 3, it's such a fantastic port. And to, like, again, to have it to play wherever you want, anywhere you want, doesn't matter. You want to pick it up, play it in bed, play it in bed. Play it when you're on the plane, you can do that. It doesn't matter. You got that full AAA experience in your hand. And, you know, to me, The Witcher 3 is still the best game of this generation, and this is a fateful, you know, port of it to go to the Switch. I don't feel any compromises when I play. Like I said, sure, it's really playing at 540p and all that stuff, and I know, you know, they've downgraded some of the textures, but on that screen, you're just playing. You're just enjoying the game. I mean, if you want to nitpick, you can nitpick, but at first glance, it's just fantastic. There's nothing wrong with it at all.
Yeah. You know, I have the conventions to make, man. I've never played the last expansion of The Witcher 3. I played everything else. The first expansion, all the free DLC that came out before the first and second expansion came out. I played them all. So this is going to be my first time playing the last expansion that came out for The Witcher 3, man. So
is that where you started?
No. I'm starting from scratch.
Yeah. I advise against that. Don't do that. If you've never played Blood and Wine, it's good. You're going to be 40 hours into this game before you actually get to Blood and Wine, even if you just power through everything.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
okay.
Start at Blood and Wine because it's damn near another game. That's how much is in there. It's damn near another game.
Yeah. So no, you know what it is?
There's so much. I'm just saying, it's content you've never experienced before. Instead of replaying everything you've already done, I would jump straight to that. It's that good. You should experience it and play it.
Yeah, like I really don't mind playing from the beginning because I love
Well, let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
We have so many games we have to play this holiday. Are you really going to, cause I'm telling you right now, I'm not, there's no way I can sit here through this holiday and replay everything. There's just no way. There's too many other things we got to play.
Mm-hmm.
So you're, by the time you get the Blood and Wine, Cyberpunk's going to be out. I'm telling you now.
Nah, Paris, I play a lot. You know, I play a lot. Like, and especially when I travel and do certain things, you know, I'm always with the Switch. You know, now I'm in New York City, I'm always on the train, bus, you know. So I'm going to be playing it. And honestly, like, yeah, I want to – it's a such a beautiful game, and it's so good. Story is fantastic that, yes, I am going to play from the beginning. And I get it. There's a lot of games coming out. There's Luigi Mansion's coming out now. There's a bunch of other things, man. I know – what other games coming out this year? I'm trying to think. Call of Duty is coming out, right? Yes. Is there anything? Anything else from Xbox?
Jedi Fallen Order is coming out.
Yeah, and look, I'm gonna have this game for forever, basically. You know, so I'm just gonna enjoy it. You know, here and there. I just love the game, man. I'm gonna play from the beginning and just go all the way through.
You don't know what you're missing. I'm just telling you.
I know
what you're missing.
I know. It's all good.
Because we'll have this conversation after Cyberpunk. Did you play Blood and Wine yet? No, I haven't gotten to it yet.
Ah,
that's what you're going
to
say.
But I'm still going to say. Dude, watch. I'm still going to play it, man. You see.
Okay. All right.
But another thing, dude, I need to mention this, man. Overwatch looks fantastic, Paris. Another great game from Blizzard. So good. It plays smooth and is exactly the PlayStation 4 and Xbox and PC. The same exact game. It looks great. Pulled, like, on the go, looks great. TV looks good. And it also comes with a 3-month Nintendo Switch Online, like the subscription for like 3 months, and you can play the game. And I believe this is like $39.99. That's a great deal. That's a fantastic deal.
I'm going to say something. It's not even controversial, but
okay.
I've never played Overwatch.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. after all the nonsense that Blizzard has been doing with China recently, mm-hmm. I probably never will.
Yeah, I mean
I've never played World of Warcraft, and that was for other reasons. But looking at just Blizzard's tactics recently, you're not giving me any incentive to really want to go play one of your games.
No,
if anything, and I'm sorry to pivot from Overwatch, but mm-hmm. if anything, they already canceled the Nintendo event because they know the controversy's coming and the protests and just the outcries from the community.
Yeah,
BlizzCon's going to be a freaking dumpster fire this year because everything's going to be pivot, spin, pivot. Oh no! I mean, honestly, they just need to come out. CEO of the company needs to just come out. They need to apologize for everything that they've done, because even them reducing the sentence to 6 months was still basically saying we value money over what the gamer wants or over, you know, freedom rights and everything. I mean, we're the United States of America. We're not China. And you're basically bowing down to a communist country. And then, look, I'm not trying to make this politics, so I'm not trying to go there too much. But
yeah.
My point is, it was very disappointing to see Blizzard's stance with that, you know.
Yeah.
Honestly, even what Riot came out and did and what they said was, I get it. It still kind of feel they could have phrased it a little bit better. I mean, it still is almost saying, hey, don't speak out on your platform against something that we all know is wrong. You know, everyone should have rights, freedom of speech, that whole thing. I get it. It's China,
mm-hmm.
but you know, when you make a deal with the devil, these are the repercussions right now. I mean, honestly, look at what the NBA is doing. The whole thing again. I'll be quiet on it because I know people get upset when I delve into those things.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. But yeah, I've never played Overwatch, and after recent events, I probably never will.
Yeah, well, they sent me a review code, so you know, I'm not gonna like. Oh, sorry, I'm not gonna review it. You know, and I know.
Actually, you could say that.
No,
that's
but
kind of the whole point.
No, but Paris. Because you know, there's listeners that are asking me, hey, how is Overwatch?
And that's when you say I'm not reviewing this game because of what Blizzard has recently done.
I get it, Paris. I'm just saying I'm reviewing it because I talked to the person that sent me the code, and I'm reviewing it. And I'm you know, there's listeners that ask me on social media, like, hey, how is the game? You know, and I'm telling them, that's why I'm voicing it here. Like, I wasn't planning to talk about all this stuff because I wanted to talk about that like on another day, you know, but. Whatever, it's all good, and I respect that. I'm not against anybody's opinion. Like I, you know me. I'm really into like the political stuff. Like I'm always listening to that on a podcast, you know. But yeah, just wanted to say that very quick, you know. So
you're listening to Gamertag Radio.
This episode of Gamertag Radio is brought to you by the Menlo Club. It is a men's monthly and seasonal subscription that provides styled packages for every man, featuring items from 5'4", everyday wear, New Republic footwear, and Grand AC athleisure wear. For just $60 a month or $75 per season, men in the community will receive a curated hand-picked package containing 2 to 3 items of the latest trends in menswear. All items are designed by our in-house team here in Los Angeles. Complete a brief style quiz to be matched into a clothing profile that'll curate the apparel being sent to you. Our member expert team is available to help through live chat, email, and phone. This is hassle-free, no style fee like our competitors, free size exchanges, and pause or cancel at any time, aka no risk to you to try this service. Receive an extra members only 25% off themenlohouse.com and always receive free shipping. So again, this is our sponsor. I did the quick quiz. Unless my wife dresses me, I have no style, but this allowed me to kind of fill out a quiz on what I'm comfortable wearing. They sent me a package. It's definitely stylish. I'm absolutely loving the Menlo Club, and I think you guys should try it too. So get your first monthly or seasonal package for $35 off using our promo code GTR. Or get your first monthly or seasonal package for only $25 using our promo code GTR. So again, that's the Menlo Club. Try it today. Use our code GTR. Thank you to the Menlo Club for sponsoring this episode of Gamertag Radio.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
The Division 2, Episode 2, came out, is by far the biggest content update so far from Massive. They added new missions. I know, Paris, you've been having this for a couple of days before it came out, right?
Yeah, they sent it to me a week early to play it for preview. I enjoyed it a lot. I think the Pentagon missions are good. That's the beauty of their PvE content. Their campaign story mission content. I really like it. They're long. You do a lot of things in them. You know, there's a lot of enemies that are coming at you. They're fun. They're a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm saying that I really enjoyed the missions that I had in there, because I found it a little bit challenging. I was like, wow, okay.
Do it solo, it's very hard. You definitely want to match make or get a squad in there.
Because the thing is, like when you start the game, you're going inside the Pentagon. So the two new main missions are not available yet. So you're playing this solo, going to this to the area. And once you're in the safe house, you're going to be talking with somebody from there. And then the main mission unlocks. Once you finish that one, then the second one unlocks again too, another one. So I was like, man, this is this is a little bit challenging. Okay, like I died a couple times, you know. It's been a while that I haven't played Division, you know. So, but yeah, I completed it. It was a lot of fun. I know there's other things that they add in the game that I haven't really been checking it out yet.
Yeah, have you tried the Expedition stuff?
Not yet. But I heard it's good, too.
No, it's really good. And it really delves more into this world and the story of the Division. I mean, because again, it's Expedition. It's exploration to actually find things and you know, get story elements from there. I really like that. I really do. I really wish they would have more of those in the game. I mean, episode one had expeditions. Now this, there's more classified assignments you can do as well. So there's stuff there to do. And like you said, of between episode one and episode two is definitely more content. You know, you also have the PvP portion where they added the new map. We now have the new elimination mode that's in there as well. I'm not a fan of it, and I've said this many times. I still feel like the PvP is not where it needs to be. They've made the Dark Zone changes. I went in there yesterday. It was still a ghost town. I mean, I know they were trying to server side make it so that always the spaces were going to be full. But when I went into Dark Zone East, I mean, it still felt the same to me. I know they've changed some of the landmark stuff to try and drive people more there. You can get more, you know, they changed their vendor, things like that. But again, I'm not trying to spin this in a negativeville, but just being realistic about it, it's still not enough content for the Division 2, even if you add together episode 1 and episode 2. I mean, sure, if you're just playing the game for the first time, you go through the whole story, get all the way up to World Tier 5, do all the strongholds, do the raid, episode 1, episode 2, there's a lot of things to keep you entertained for about a good, I would say, to be realistic, a good 80 to 100 hours. But after that, I feel like you're still going to hit a brick wall. Like, I feel like I did this episode 2 content before it officially came out. I'm honestly already done. What is my incentive to go back? There's really no gear that I'm chasing. I don't even know if you want, just want to dive into the whole Division 2, just what's been going on here over the last week or so. But there's been a lot of negativity in the community leading up to this. Just a lot of toxic comments, behavior, things of that nature. Unfortunately, the creative director also tweeted out something which did not help it at all. But then he came back later talking about Julian Garrity and actually, you know, put out a series of tweets to kind of say, hey, episode 2 is coming out. You know, there's been we need to do a lot of healing in this community right now, which I 100% agree with. And it goes on both sides. And kind of like the comments I've been making over the last few days is it leaders lead. It starts at the top, and the top starts with Massive. Massive has to lead from a community presence. They have to jump in and lead the narrative, lead the discussion on, okay, here's our game. Here's what it is right now today. Here are the great things about it. Here are the things that we need to fix. And then basically put out a roadmap for here's what we're thinking of what we're going to fix down the road. However it is they want to communicate that. But the bottom line is it's about communication. They got to communicate better with their community and stop enabling these people that are putting out all these toxic comments. And look, criticism is great. I criticize things all the time, but I also try to be respectful of the people that make these games and do what they do. But if you see something you don't like, it is okay to voice that opinion. You don't have to be an a-hole about it at the same time either. It's kind of my point. So long story short, what I'm trying to say is the Division 2 is a game like back in March, you know how excited you and I, Pete, we were for this game when it launched back in March. I will still contend it had the best launch of any of these kind of open world live service games ever. I loved the way it launched. I thought it was fantastic. I thought their vision for Endgame was fantastic to get us to World Tier 5, to bring in the Black Tusk, the Strongholds, the Raid, the whole thing. The Raid that had played in there cleared a few times. Fantastic. I loved it. I know some people controversy in matchmaking and all that. But when you go from that to then hit this brick wall of not having compelling loot, not having compelling PvP, having a dark zone that is too spread out too thin because there's a three different zones, so you can never have enough people in one zone at one time. I don't think 12 people in a dark zone is enough. I think it should probably be bumped up to 16 because I feel like you make an encounter with a group, you kill them, they respawn, and you're engaged with them again within 5 minutes if they're after you, things like that. So Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that they still got to work on in the game, but the core of the division, the gameplay loop of the division is great. I freaking love it. I think the world that they built in Washington, D.C. is great. There's always something going on in that world if you just walk around and explore. I think that is great as well. The bones of the game is fantastic. They just got to fill in the gaps with the content. And I am confident that it is coming. But again, Massive and Ubisoft need to communicate this to the community on what they're working on. Because as it stands right now with Episode 2, mm-hmm. this is it until 2020. This is it. It's not because they took the raid out. I think they should have got way out ahead of that and explained to people that the raid weren't coming to set expectations. I like to go on Reddit and I read the Twitter stuff and all that just to see the pulse of the community, what people are saying. People are pissed. They don't like it. And mm-hmm. and I know Episode 2 is out right now. Guess what? My friends list, Ghost Town yesterday. Nobody was online playing it.
Yeah, I think there was only like one from my list
yeah.
playing it. Yeah,
that's a problem. Yeah. That is a problem when new content comes out. You know what I'm saying? And look, everyone knows I'm the Destiny guy, blah, 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 blah. I don't even need to compare it to Destiny. Take Destiny, Anthem, all that stuff out of the equation. Just focusing on the Division 2. They got to fix their communication. They got to talk about the content that's coming. They got to... I know they did their ETF thing where they brought some people in from the community to get ideas, feedback, and all that. Got to get more of those. They got to communicate what came out of that and what their ideas are that mm-hmm. moving forward, here are the changes that we're going to make. Here's the things that we're going to do. Because let's be real here. The first year of the Division 2 was quote-unquote free content, unless you bought early access, which is what we're in right now for Episode 2. So I look at it almost as an advertisement for your big expansion that I'm sure is coming next year, right? Mm-hmm. As we sit here today, who's really going to go drop $40 on an expansion next spring for the Division 2 year 2 content? They're going to go, well, year 1 kind of sucked after we got past the initial stuff. The first episodes were light on content. Why am I going to go reinvest in this game and give you $40?
Yeah, well,
lot of people are going to do it. The hardcore will do it. But I'm talking about the people that are on the fringe, the more casual, they're not going to invest $40 into this game. As we sit here today, I'm just talking.
Oh, today, yeah. No, I get it. That part I get. And I think
maybe,
yeah.
Hold on. Maybe we get into Episode 3. Maybe they fix these things of communicating and we build this excitement off of Episode 3. But mm-hmm. as we sit here today on October 16th, 2019, I'm not seeing it. And that's the problem. They got to get out in front of this and start talking about it more. They just have to.
Yeah. No, and Paris and I agree. I agree that part. And I think the conversation we were having the other day, I was saying they need to make every time there's like a new episode, right? And even when there's a raid, make this like an event. I'm not saying a global event is mainstream, is all over the news. I'm not saying like that, but for the community, like when there's something new for any game, they say for the Division, I mean not the Division, for Destiny and all these games, I feel like within the community, it feels like an event.
When
Episode 1 and Episode 2 comes out, and it's like, yeah, we have some new content. It's not, there's no big buzz, there's no like people streaming it like, yo, this is an event, this is like, you know what I'm trying to say? I would like to see that, like Episode 3 needs to be that. Celebrate the whole, you know, the ending of Episode 3, and then at the same time promote what's coming next for the year, and just go from there, man. You know, make this as an event. Hey, I was even thinking, man, this will be a great time for Massive to come to New York City and have like a local free event. Bring the Division fans, hey, come and play our new content. Like, make this as an event, streaming online. You know what I'm trying to say, Paris? Like, when
I 100% know what you're saying.
When I got to see Fortnite when it shut down and everybody was freaking out, like, hey, what's going on, right? It was, the game was so crazy. Like, people were talking about this that I even got to see this on CNN twice, back to back. The first day was like, is this the end of Fortnite? And yo, the host, you could tell they're not gamers. They were talking about it, right? Then the next day, they were talking about the leak of Chapter 2. And I'm like, yo, this is genius. Marketing, genius. Because honestly, maybe Epic has a community manager. Because I don't know, maybe you do know. I've never heard of this person, but they don't need a community manager for that game. The content creators are the community managers for that game. They're the ones talking about everything, all the leaks, all the stuff that's coming up. They have that, you know. So,
here's where I'll jump in and agree and disagree at the same time.
Yeah,
you're right. In the current state of Fortnite, you don't need a community manager because everything's good right now and they're doing things the right way. In my opinion, a community manager, or quote unquote, a community team is needed when things ain't going right. That's when you need it, because you need someone to step in and answer the questions of the community so you're not just throwing kerosene on something and just starting a wildfire. Perfect example. Mm-hmm. What happened over the weekend? There was one of the lead producers on Halo Infinite at 343 left the company. The title of the articles made it seem like this person replaced the creative director that left a few months ago. So now all of a sudden the narrative was the last two people that were creative directors on Halo Infinite at 343 have left the company. Halo community exploded. Oh my God, what's going on? Panic, panic, panic. 343's community manager stepped in immediately, jumped on Reddit, and had a very thoughtful explanation on exactly what happened. Cleared up the misconceptions. Mm-hmm. If anyone sat there and took the time to read it, they understood it and was like, oh, okay, this isn't a big deal. This person actually left because they got an even better opportunity at another company to do something, to work with someone, I think it was Harold Ryan or whatever, he used to be like the studio head at Bungie. Mm-hmm. But the point is, they didn't leave on bad terms. They didn't leave because, oh my God, the game is chaos and everything's breaking. They left because they got a great opportunity, so they took it. There's nothing wrong with that, because again, this is America, do what you want, right? So when you have a community manager steps in and does things like that, that fixes stuff, because obviously, like we said before, Halo Infinite is going to be a very important game for Xbox. When you see articles like that, it makes the community uneasy. It made me pause, like, uh-oh, is this game in trouble? What's going on? But then when I read it, I go, oh, okay, everything's all good. So spinning this back into, like you're saying with Fortnite, yeah, right now you don't need anything. But God forbid something bad happens with Fortnite, you do need that community presence to step in and actually be the face of the company in the game to explain to the community what's going on. Same thing applies to The Division right now. I know they have a community manager. I kind of think I know who it is, but I'm not 100% sure. And again, that's the problem. That is the absolute problem that they have. So I agree with you that right now that game doesn't need it, but yeah, let something bad happen. We should have a community manager step up really quick.
Yeah, yeah. This is a great conversation though, man. Great, great conversation. But yeah, anything else from
that side? So like I said, I wasn't going to compare, bring in the whole Destiny thing, talking about Division 2, but I am going to talk about Destiny on its own. So you brought up like the whole raid thing, the event and all that. So, you know, I didn't do Worlds first, but again, it was a big event. Community was hugely engaged. The Twitch engagement was huge when people were trying to do Worlds first and all that kind of stuff. I peeked at it a little bit. So I actually did the raid a few days after that. Was it that Sunday or something? Well, I forget. But anyways, a few days after that, I got my first raid clear. Shout out to the team I was on. And it was funny. The original team that I was running with, we got to the boss, and then I started screwing up. I was getting frustrated. I was letting the team down, and I had actually, people left, so I logged off. I actually tweeted about it, right? Like, oh, y'all, I felt so embarrassed. It was my worst time ever playing Destiny in 5 years. I was letting the team down, blah, blah, blah. So some other people in the community saw this and reached out and was like, yo, what happened? What's the issue? I explained. It was like, yo, let's get the clear. Come on, hop on my team. We'll jump in. Yo, we got it the first time through.
That's dope.
On the boss. So I got my clear now. But that's why I like that community so much, because so many people are willing to help each other and do all that kind of stuff. So last night, because now we had the reset, so I jumped back in last night. I did the raid again last night, and we actually did the Divinity Quest, which was the exotic trace rifle that you get. You can get through the raid. It was like the big weapon that you can get for Shadowkeep right now. So we did all the steps for the quest, went into the raid, did all the puzzle elements with that, got a clear last night. So I got Divinity, got another clear on the raid. You know what I'm saying? And it's just fun. That I love that kind of stuff. I love being able to hop in with the community and play. Like I said, six people working together to solve something. Mm-hmm. It's working great. A lot of fun. So, yeah. So that's kind of where I am with Destiny right now. I feel like that game's in a good place. I'm actually going to put a video out probably about this weekend. I've just been capturing every time I play. I've just been capturing a ton of footage. So I just got to chop it up. I'll just put out my full thoughts on video. I'll link all that stuff out on social media. But I'm having a great time with it. I'll probably have more thoughts on Division 2 as well. But yeah, it's this is again, Danny, to bring it back full circle to The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
Dude, there's so much stuff to play right now.
No, and I get it. I get it.
I don't know. I don't know how I'm having it because, dude, also The Outer Worlds is about to come out.
Oh, like, that's another game. I totally forgot. Anyway, I think we're getting it soon. It's good. The game comes out in a week.
Yeah, I got an email. Oh, I'll talk to you offline about it, but I got an email about that last night. But yeah, we're going to get it soon. Yeah, The Outer Worlds, Call of Duty, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah,
Red
it's a
Dead
lot.
2's coming on PC. So I finally can play that too. It's like, dude, there's so much stuff coming out, man.
Speaking about Star Wars, there was an event, a press event a couple of days ago. So people been posting pictures from it. From there, from the location, I think it was somewhere in California. But yeah, they took pictures. They're planning to talk about it. I think they just played a little bit of the missions. This is not like a review event or anything like that because the game comes out sometime next month. But also, I've been noticing now that a lot of people already got copies of Death Stranding. So I'm very curious about that, man.
I may or may not know someone that. Has it.
Oh, okay. I honestly want people to review this just to review it, not because it's Kojima, you know? So please, I hope it's good. I hope this game proves me wrong, Paris, because honestly, I've not been excited for this game at all, but maybe these reviews will change my mind. Who knows? We'll see.
I have no comment.
Okay. Is that
it? Yeah, I'll say this. I'll say this.
Okay.
I've been clear that I don't feel, and this is me, and people get mad when I say this, I don't feel that Kojima's had a great game since Metal Gear Solid, personally, because I felt like Metal Gear Solid 2 betrayed me, and just the other stuff he's come out with since, it's just not been for me. And that's okay. We've talked about this a million times. Not everything's for everyone.
Yeah.
When I look at Death Stranding, I can tell it's going to be super weird. And I feel like you need to go in expecting this to be weird, to expect a convoluted story. My main thing with Death Stranding has always been, what is the gameplay loop? I want to know, when I have a controller in my hand, what am I doing to interact with the game? That's what I'm just dying to know when it finally comes out. Again, I'm kind of like you. It's not been something that, oh my God, day one, it's on my radar. Mm-hmm. But look, if your reviews come in, the impressions come in and go, wow, man, this amazing story. He's doing this, he's doing that. I will carve out time to figure out when to play it. I just know it won't be at launch. I already know that. Yeah. But yeah, it is one of the most fascinating games in a long time just to see what it is, because I swear we still don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
We just don't know.
I agreed.
Yeah.
Paris, by the way, can you believe it's been 30 years since the Nintendo Game Boy?
I know, I'm old, man. I remember when it first came out.
Yeah.
And I wanted it so bad and I couldn't afford it because I was a kid and I was broke.
And you know what bugged me out? I remember playing Tetris. I was like, wow, this thing is so cool. And then, you know what was a game changer? When my other friend had another Game Boy and we're like, yo, let's go at it, man. One versus one. I'm like, let's do it. And we connected our Game Boy and we were playing like that. I was like, this is amazing. I can't believe this is happening right now.
Yeah.
That was crazy. That was insane. Yeah, it is 30. Wow. That's insane.
We're old.
Yeah, man, we're old, dude. Very old. Anything else, Paris? Before we wrap this up here, man.
I think that's it. It's like I said, we're entering the final. Oh, actually, I do have one last thing.
Oh.
One last thing to say. So we had talked last time we were together to talk. We were talking about Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Mm-hmm. I said I was going to give it more time. And just, you know, people saying that they really liked it and that maybe I wasn't giving it a fair shot. I gave it a fair shot. I still don't like it.
Okay.
I just think this is getting too far away from what Ghost Recon is supposed to be, in my opinion.
Now, I'll tell you my feedback. I still think one player is boring. Playing with friends, it was actually fun. I played with Arctic. Shout out to him. We were playing for a while, and we did a couple missions. I was like, okay. And he was showing me some stuff. I'm like, all right, this is not bad. It's okay. It's not groundbreaking. It's okay. I prefer Wildlands and previous Ghost Recon games. I just don't like the way what they're turning into this game now, like game services, loot, and all that, whatever.
Yep.
I'm not really too thrilled about it, man. But the game is not bad. I played it here and there with not only with Arctic, but also like random matchmaking with people online, and it was fun. It was actually fun, man. Did a couple missions there.
Yeah, if I had to give it on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give it 5 out of 10.
I'll give it maybe like a 6. A 6, because it wasn't...
Yeah, it wasn't, it's around there. It's up in there somewhere.
It's not bad.
So. It really comes down to this, and I know we're going to go. It just comes down to this. Like we've been saying, the theme of this episode has been there's a lot of freaking games to play right now. There's a lot of different things fighting for my time. I'm not going to invest my time in this because there's just other things that I could be playing. And I just don't feel like the gameplay loop in Ghost Recon is fun enough for me to want to invest the time to go play it. I'd rather go play The Witcher 3 again on the Switch versus going to play Ghost Recon. Obviously, I've been investing in Destiny. I've been playing The Division 2. I'm really looking forward to Call of Duty coming out. It's like, there's just other things fighting for my attention right now. The Outer Worlds. It's like, dude, I have no idea how I'm going to invest 100 hours into the Outer Worlds. How am I doing this? I don't know, but I want to do it, is my point. Versus playing something like Ghost Recon right now. It's just not for me.
No, I tapped out. I tell you this. I played Ghost Recon more than Anthem. That's a fact.
Well, that's a fact. And that I would agree with. I mean, it's better than Anthem for sure.
I deleted Anthem. I couldn't do it. I deleted the game. So, and that's that. And yes, everybody, thank you for listening. And it was a great conversation. Great conversation. And I think we have more stuff coming up for the next episode. So stay tuned. And anything else, Paris?
No, I think that's it, man.
All right. All right, so we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.